Well, welcome back. This is Nighttime Live here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And last night was the finale of the television series Fargo. Joining us right now is Bill Lempe. He is the webmaster, if you will, the host of Fargo Talks Fargo, the website. And I do want to let everybody know right now, if you have not watched the finale yet, you may be getting a spoiler here. So
yeah,
be careful. Okay, be careful.
That's, I'm going to say all sorts of things that's going to happen. Ruin the TV show if you haven't seen it.
First of all, I thought this was a very unique idea. How did it come together for this little this podcast?
I'd previously been helping my friend Joe and Sharpie. They run a website called grillingaddiction.com. And about a year or so ago, we were doing a grilling podcast, and I was just helping produce it. And as I heard the show come up, I was just sitting around one day, and not very long before the show started airing, I thought, wow, that'll be interesting to do our perspective on the show from Fargo about Fargo. You know, and I thought maybe some people will tune in around here. It could be fun. And so we went for it.
And you did. You got a lot of, I mean, it steadily built, didn't it, as the show went on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've the show, I mean, there's a bigger Fargo podcast than us. But I mean, there's a set of guys who, that's what they do for a living. That's their whole life. Sharpie and I have other jobs that we do. But I mean, yeah, we get downloads from every state. We've been downloaded in 64 countries. We've got a pretty good following in the UK, in Australia, and all over. And we got comments on Twitter the other day from somebody. We had a listener who's in Hungary, and she just wanted to tweet saying, "I love the show. Just want to let you know how far you're getting out there." And I, you know, she's fantastic. She interacts with us on Facebook and Twitter too.
We all love this town. We all love this area. But is it this area that fascinates these people, or is it the Coen brothers?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think the Coen brothers have made their own little bit of a universe, you know, and people, you know, seem to take their own offense or not offense to that situation. But we are also a unique people in a unique area, and I think that fascinates people. And, you know, say what you want about it, we do talk a little bit like that.
That's exactly what when I went to the first episode down at the Fargo Theater. Were you there?
Yes, I was.
Because that's exactly what Tom Musgrave said. He said, people come up to you and say, "Oh, geez, you don't talk like that." Well, yeah, you do. You just said, "Oh, geez," mm-hmm. You know? So
it happens. And the thing I've talked to people about, because I remember when the movie came out, and I mean, I went to it, the movie Fargo in 1996, I went to it and I watched it then, and people talked about it then, and I said, you know, people in the South don't all talk like a slack-jawed yokel either, but you get those characters in TV and film all the time. You know, not everybody sounds like Foghorn Leghorn, but it happens. I mean, that's why there is a certain dialect to regions, and it's more interesting to hear it in its extreme fashion than hearing it at its lowest, most newscaster voice.
I was going to say, because I used to go deer hunting when I was much, much younger up in northwestern Minnesota, Thief River Falls. I'd be up there for a week, maybe 10 days at a time. I came back and went back to high school. I talk like that.
Yeah, it happens.
I mean, you slide into it real easy.
Yeah.
Real easy.
I mean, it's. I don't think it was as pronounced in the TV show as it was in the film. And I think that was a very calculated effort by Noah Hawley, from what I've heard through talking with some people that were involved in the show. But it doesn't bother me. I say all sorts of weird stuff. I have a sister who lives on the East Coast, and her friends are just, they just throw out words. They're like, "Say this for us," and I'll say it, and they'll giggle, and I don't understand it. I don't hear it. But I mean, everybody's listened to Ka Talk, so I don't, you know. The way it goes.
FargoTalksFargo.com. Bill Lempe is our special guest here tonight on KFGO. When you saw the first episode in the Fargo Theater, I mean, I right away knew this is gonna go gangbusters.
Yeah,
your thoughts?
It's a thing, and I have to admit, I felt a little spoiled to be able to watch it with 800 plus people at the Fargo Theater, because there's just that energy and that buzz that builds between people. I mean, when the opening credits rolled and the word Fargo went up on the screen and Jeff Russo's score played, people just clapped. They just ignited. And I don't know if I would have felt, I would have enjoyed it. I enjoyed it much more. I almost wish I could have watched every episode that way.
And Tom Musgrave, when his face popped up, people started applauding.
People, you know, go nuts.
Yeah.
Hey, I know a guy that knows that guy who met that guy once.
The show that first show, by the way, was 90 minutes, and 90 minutes on the end last night, the finale. Mm-hmm. So that was what, six or seven shows in between then?
Yeah, 10 total episodes, and the first and ten episodes, and the first and last episodes were an hour and a half on what I call TV time.
So it was more than 10 minutes, or
more than 10 hours.
More than 10 hours.
Basically, okay. 11 hours, and they've talked about it that way, that it's not necessarily a series; it's more of a mini series. Very very in line with HBO's True Detective, where they if the show True Detective or Fargo do come back for a second season, it will be a completely different cast of characters.
This cast of characters, by the way, or the cast itself. I mean, I was absolutely amazed when I first heard Billy Bob Thornton signed on to this. My jaw dropped.
Yeah, and there's people who've been talking that he's this is one of his an incredible role. I mean, we're talking about a guy who Sling Blade, just in and of itself is amazing for him, but was great. I mean, I was talking the other night with somebody, I can't remember who, just I think it was with Sharpie on the show, that Alison Tolman, though, who's in the middle of all these like really seasoned veterans, holds her own really, really well as Molly Salverson. And hats off to her for doing what she's done, because I mean, this is her first real big thing, and she's in scenes with Martin Freeman and Billy Bob and Colin Hanks and all these people who have all this experience. But I'd never have guessed that this was her first.
I liked her a lot too. But what really stuck out to me was not only did she stick to her story or her theory of what's happening, but they gave her so much crap that no, you've got it all wrong. And yeah. I just thought that was a super strong character.
Well, that when you got Bob Odenkirk as Bill Oswald, who's really more concerned about the temperature of his omelet rather than hearing about any other crimes, you've got problems in your police department.
Yeah.
But he's just, Bill Oswald's just got too big a heart for the job, and we found that out in episode 10.
What happened to Oliver Platt, by the way, the owner of the grocery store?
Sad guy. Yeah. The plagues of Egypt came down on him, and he suffered everything. And I think there. I read an article with Noah Hawley that there was a scene they cut out of episode 7 where Gus goes back to interview him about the company car that he and Molly were looking for, and Gus found him just sitting there throwing his books into the fireplace and watching them burn. Wow. And but they cut it, for time. And I mean, that's the tough part. There's more story there than I'm sure Noah could get into the 10 episodes that they aired.
I have a lot of people say to me, where did all those fish come from?
they said it came from some sort of tornadic activity that pulled them out of the lake, but hey, you just act of God?
yeah, it's a good question. But I have to tell you that when he went and buried the money again.
Oh, yeah.
That leaves, to me, in my heart, that leaves
season two
wide, wide open.
It could. It very well could. I just hope somebody finds it in summer.
Well, yeah.
I have a theory about season two that I want to see, harvest or farming or a lot of fishing opener stuff.
that would leave because people do think of Fargo, I guess, mostly in the wintertime because of the Fargo the movie. But that would maybe take a little of the mystique out of it, wouldn't it? Do you think
it
if
could.
It went to a different time of season?
It could. I mean, both the movie and the film had that really desolate, lonely a thing going on for it. And plus, what other B-town are they going to use? So the movie was Brainerd. This season was Bemidji. So I don't know. Do we visit Baudette or Benson?
Yeah. Duluth.
Yeah.
I'm guessing I'm going to take a wild stab. Just a wild stab. If they have a season two, which I think they will.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they're going to Thief River.
You think so? Or is that just your deep seated?
That's just a guess.
Thief River, that could be a thing. Crookston. I don't know. It's
Crookston? Yeah, that's close.
There's so much in Minnesota. Just good old Lake of the Woods fun.
Because they really
get up north.
Kind of stuff up there in Thief River,
Yeah, and I think the farther they stay away from any kind of major metro areas, the better they are. But, who knew we had a crime syndicate here? I didn't know that until the show.
A grocery crime syndicate.
Big time. I had no idea. Dean Hornbacher, but he's a pretty nice guy. I worked for him when I was a kid.
Did you? I did too.
Yeah.
Him and Bruce.
Paper or plastic.
We are going to take a break. 12 minutes now before 9 here at KFGO. I'm going to warn you. Next, we talk about the last episode, so some spoilers may be coming your way. That's after this break here on KFGO.
If you're going to play in Fargo, you got to have a shovel in the van. 3 feet of snow is deep, but not to a Minnesota man.
Ah, very good, very good. We're talking with Bill Lepke. No, not a key. Bill Lepke is joining us right now here on KFGO from Fargo Talks, Fargo.com. I appreciate you being here tonight. And I first of all, I want to ask, I saw, and I know you did too, there was really a transition of Lester Nygaard, Mr. Martin Freeman, what was the?
Episode seven.
Yeah. Surprise you?
No, it didn't. You know, he's a guy who's seeking some sort of, I don't know, the word's not even acceptance. He just hasn't fully realized his own inner jerk. And he was always trying to get there. And somehow his crossing paths with Lauren Malvo gave him that open window to, like, walk down that road. And episode seven is where it totally happens, because if you were ever to go back and rewatch anything, there's a baseline that continually goes with Lauren Malvo's character. Actually, the baseline a little bit, and these like low timpani things. And I noticed in episode seven when he turned that story against his brother, basically framing him for a bunch of crimes he didn't commit, and he's walking away, and his brother's yelling out of a jail cell, "Lester, what'd you do?" And that baseline is playing, and it's basically transitioned to Lester, and we interviewed Jeff Russo, the composer of the score, and I asked him about that, and he said it's very deliberate. And he said that it's actually called something like, I can't remember, I did this interview yesterday and I already forgot it, but it's like Lester Becomes Lauren or something like that.
A complete switcher. By the way, I did hear a lot of that interview with, I did listen to a lot of interview with Mr. Russo. Was there something that he said something about, there was a scene that was just absolutely blown up? I think that was the term he used, by Noah, and Noah said we got to redo some of this stuff.
Yeah, he didn't get super direct about what it was, but it came up when we were discussing that all the characters each had kind of their own little themes that were very subtle and nuanced through it, and it was Numbers and Wrench and the two hitmen that come from the Fargo crime syndicate, and they have their opening is just all drums, and they basically blew the whole beginning of episode two up. To change it so that the entire intro to see episode two is Numbers and Wrench with these opening drums and stuff. And he had already had quite a bit in the can, and they did a total re-edit and switched that all around.
Is this what you want, Lester?
Yeah.
That's going to be probably one. That's going to be the big saying, I think, of 2014.
That elevator scene. That's pretty brutal.
By the way, was that Heather Graham?
No.
No, it was somebody else.
I do not know who that was, unfortunately.
Okay.
No. But it was
the
not
blonde
Heather Graham.
Looked like Heather Graham.
A little bit of that look, yeah.
Yeah. And we've been talking a lot about Corner Gas lately, and that guy that was in the dentist chair was actually the chief cop from Corner Gas. That
oh, really?
Didn't show up in Canada, so we thought that was pretty cool, too. I didn't understand quite how he became, I'm talking about Lauren Malvo now, was he always in the medical profession? Because he opened up that show seven with him being a dentist.
I don't think we really know. What we do know is that Lauren is completely committed to whatever he's doing, whether it's knifing a childhood rival in the back of the head in a strip club, or working the brother of a, you know, hidden away guy. What the witness protection guy's brother for 6 months, pretending you're a dentist. Maybe he had the background, maybe he didn't. It was quite the opening, though, because you see him digging in the guy's mouth, and you're like, oh my gosh, is that going to be Lauren Malvo? And he is, and he's got a new haircut. That's a heck of a change.
And the guy that he did it on, I mentioned Corner Gas.
Yeah.
His first name is Lauren.
Really?
Lauren Cardinal.
The connections never stop.
It's just, I mean, everything is so wound together. I mean, it is really so cool how they worked that out.
Noah Hawley, I think, you know, some people were kind of critical of all the throwbacks to the original movie, but I don't think they were throwbacks. They were just like little hints and hat tips to things that happened. I mean, some very obvious things like the ice scraper, that was a very obvious thing. But all the way down to Lauren walking into Lou's or somewhere at one point, and there's a special going on for White Russians. That's a callback to the Big Lebowski. There's eggs hidden all over this show, and even the last episode, the fox, the rabbit, and the cabbage, is actually it has its own meaning for the show, but it's also a throwback to Martin Freeman and the original Office from the UK. You know, so there's so many things tied together there that, I mean, you could rewatch the show and sit there in front of a computer at Google and you could find so many more things over and over and over.
Billy Bob Thornton, by the way, in last night's episode is shot, the first shot. But that fracture of his shin from that bullet, I mean, that was some doggone good makeup work there. Yeah. I mean, that was incredible.
Who knew you could fix that with a sash?
A window sash, or
a cord from the... I wouldn't want to be in that situation. I don't know if it was purposeful, but I think I might have texted John Lamb at the forum. I texted him and said, this is like a reverse wood chipper. So his leg is busted, but the rest of his body's intact. Carl Showalter at the end of the other season was gone and his leg was intact when Marge Gunderson found him.
See, my mind doesn't work that way. Of course, Scott's known that for many years. In the end, though, obviously we mentioned that Malvo is gone. I won't tell him how, but he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
But I was surprised that, well, first of all, they opened it actually with the demise, the actual scene.
They gave you a little taste of where the end was.
Yeah, where the end was. And it happened to be that Lester is on a snowmobile.
Yep.
And here is a guy who at the beginning of this movie could probably barely shovel a sidewalk. I don't know. But, I mean, to see him ripping down, being chased by cops on a snowmobile kind of surprised me a little bit.
We got to remember, though, that during the one-year time shift that happened, Lester kind of got a little more manly about everything. He got himself a Bill Blass suit, a new haircut. He wasn't driving a crummy car with stuffed animals in the back anymore. He's got himself a nice Volkswagen. And he's basically living his brother's life. So he's kind of manned up, so to speak. I wouldn't put that past him. Plus, when you're on the run, you're on the run.
By the way, before we run out of time, what really stunned me, his second wife.
Oh, yeah. Poor Linda.
And she is, he puts her right into the gun sights of Billy Bob Thornton. I mean, that shocked me.
Well, that also says a lot for what Lester was slowly becoming better at. The fact that he knew that could happen and said, oh, put your hood up, hon. I don't want you catching a cold, you know, before you run off to Ocopoco.
And I shouldn't laugh, but I'm sorry. But
that's Coen Brothers, you know.
But
it's dark,
shot and he shoots her, and he's shocked. He didn't. I think
he was more shocked that he was right.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't doubt that he had some sort of care for Linda, but deep down, he's a self-centered. You know, like I said, he's a jerk store.
By the way, I did notice episode one, Sam Hess's punch. Same injury that he gave him at the end with the award across the nose.
There's a lot of things that started in episode one and came back. The librarian is now a car salesman who doesn't have the insurance but might die at the hand of Lauren.
Yep. Jeff Russo, you talked to him?
Yes, we did.
Will there be a season two? Let's listen to what he had to say.
You know, I'm planning on making a record with the band at some point. Okay. I just finished working on a show called Power, which just premiered on Starz Network.
Okay.
And that will go for the next 8 episodes. And then I'm taking a little bit of time doing some work in the studio, taking a little bit of time before I have to start writing some other stuff for Little Town Up North.
A Little Town Up North.
Who knows?
What do you think? That says yes to me.
We asked, is it? And he's like, I don't know. They've got a relationship. I think it's coming. I think Noah inked a 2-year deal with FX.
Fargo talks Fargo.com. By the way, the language gets a little dicey in there, so
yes,
be careful for the little kids.